Good evening, everyone. This is JLP. I'm the host of Mastering Singlehood and Relationship Podcast. And I'm also the author of the devotional Mastering Singlehood, 90-Day Devotional, Whole and Single, The Key to Healthy Relationships. And on tonight, I want to go ahead and really just, you know, again, welcome you for taking the time to really tune in to this keynote message that is titled Kingdom Relationships, Friendships, Families, and Marriages. God's way leads to real relationships. Now, before we go ahead and get straight to the keynote message, I want to go ahead and just briefly just summarize some of the past keynote messages that we spoke upon. Now, the reason being is because, again, I know some of you, perhaps you're listening to us for the very first time. And I want to go ahead and just make sure that you understand, you know, one of the reasoning that we're going into this level, right? Going to this next phase when it comes to our conferences. And one of the reasons, again, why tonight we're going to be talking about kingdom relationship is because we set a firm foundation in the past, the importance of being whole, right? Of being, you know, within the identity that God gave us prior to going into relationship. First of all, if you were with us since 2019, one of the main key themes that we had that we were addressing in the year 2019 is the importance of self-discovery during your singlehood and the importance of really building a firm relationship with Christ. When you recognize who you are in God, you're able to master yourself. You know your weaknesses, you know your strengths, and you began to know your purpose, right? Your God-given purpose and what God has planned for your life. And when you have this revelation, when you have this understanding, it even helps you now to connect with the right people, including whomever that God sees fit to be your future spouse. In the past, we also discussed the importance of being whole. That was one of the themes that we had in our past sessions, but now we are now making it conferences by God's grace. We talk about the importance of being whole. We titled the theme, Whole Me. Many people nowadays, you'll notice that it's as if they are going after relationships because they feel uncomfortable with themselves. They feel bored with themselves. And God does not want for you to feel uncomfortable with yourself. God wants you to see yourself the way that He sees you. And the only way you're able to see yourself the way God sees you is once you again take time to search for the Lord, right? To see God in the secret place and to just really get to know Him through the reading of scriptures, as well as through fasting and prayer. Because it's very important before you want to go ahead and partner up with someone else that you have, you know, filled yourself with the love of God, that you have filled yourself with godly wisdom and godly counsel. Now, for those of you who were taking note of what it is that we discussed in our past live session from 2021, which we titled The Number One Reason for Failed Relationship, the number one reason for failed relationship, dysfunctional marriages and divorce. The main reason, y'all, was that many people want to enter relationships and marriages for love, but not to love. And there's a big difference. When you're wanting to enter a relationship for love, oh my goodness, you are going to open yourself. You're going to be more vulnerable per se, right? You're going to be more vulnerable to counterfeits and choosing counterfeits and settling for less than what God has for you, than the mate that God has for you. And as well as you won't be able to sustain that relationship. You're going to get tired, right? If this relationship all of a sudden feels boring to you, you're going to want to leave that person. If that person, for whatever reason, does not satisfy you the way that you first entered the relationship, you're going to want to divorce that person. But this should not be the case. This was never God's original intent, right, for marriage. God's original intent was for two people to glorify Him through their marriage and to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. But now what you're seeing in today's society and culture is that if I'm just tired of you, right, I can divorce you. It doesn't even have to be the case of infidelity, right, being in the picture. As long as you're not suiting me anymore or you're not fun anymore, I can just leave you. And this is a no-no. And this is why it's so important that we fill ourselves with God's presence. We fill ourselves with God's word, right? We ask the Holy Spirit to continue to dwell in us, right? To empty us of ourselves and our selfishness, of our pride, right? Of our flesh, and to make us more like Christ. Then we are best suited to love other people. We're not going to want to have friendships nor any other relationship for love, but we're going to want to love, right? To love other people the way Christ loved us. And on tonight's episode, I want us to focus in on real relationships and understanding that real relationships are only real because they are following God's way. They are following God's word. And for there to even be real relationships, for there to even be kingdom relationships, we also have to properly define love. And this was last year's theme, love defined. Now today, y'all, I want you guys to understand, more than anyone else, God wants you to have kingdom relationships. I'm going to say this again. More than anyone else, God wants you to have kingdom relationships. After all, his kingdom is made up of relationships. We learn through scripture that, you know, once we leave this earth, we can't leave anything with it. We can't leave with our possessions. We can't leave with our money. We can't leave with anything in this world. But one thing that the Bible makes note of is that we're going to have relationships in heaven. So it matters the way that you treat other people here on earth. It matters for you to, again, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to whomever you know. Because at the end of the day, despite the fact we can't bring an item with us to heaven, despite the fact that we can't bring our accolades to heaven, right, our trophies and all of that to heaven, but we can, in fact, bring relationships. Now, I'm not saying that you yourself are literally bringing relationships, but I'm saying that once you go to heaven, by God's grace, if you did, in fact, had godly relationships, those individuals receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Therefore, you're going to meet with them again in heaven. You're going to be with them again in the new heaven and new earth that Jesus himself will establish on the earth. Now, for better understanding, what do I mean by kingdom relationship? Like, what differentiate a kingdom relationship from any other relationship, or from what it is that we see that is on display in culture and in society and in the world at large? Well, a kingdom relationship, y'all, is a relationship that honors God, oneself, and the other person within the relationship. A kingdom relationship's main objective and purpose is to model after Jesus in speech, conduct, and attitude, all the while expanding God's kingdom purpose through actions which produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit and glorify God. For these following relationships to bear lasting fruit and success, God again must be at the center. My goodness, I don't know about you, but this breaks my heart when I do not see the Father, when I do not see the Son, when I do not see the Holy Spirit at the center of a relationship. Right off the bat, I know this relationship is not going to last. And I'm not saying this to be harsh. I'm not saying this to be incompassionate. But I'm saying this because even throughout scripture, God shows us that when we neglect him, when we do not involve him in our affairs will go into shambles. Our affairs are not established upon a firm foundation, rather. And so it's so important for you, especially during this time of year, while the year is coming to a quick end, to see where it is that your relationships are going. Are your relationships centered upon Jesus Christ, centered upon God's truth? Or are your relationships centered upon what it is that pleases the flesh, or what it is that society deems to be relationship goals? I don't know about you, but my soul desires to see a society that uplifts kingdom relationships, that do relationships in a way that glorifies God. Going into 2024, one of my main priorities is for me to be, right? One, to be a part of ushering in the change and seeing God's kingdom manifest on the earth. And my friends, the main way that God's kingdom is going to manifest on the earth is through kingdom relationships. Kingdom relationships. My goodness. Apart from God being centered, right, within these relationships to be deemed kingdom relationships, also what needs to be included is genuine love, based on what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, genuine love, it is, my goodness, genuine love, it is most definitely necessary. In today's society, we're not really seeing genuine love. What we're seeing is a love that is not even love per se, according to scripture. It is whatever it is that satisfies the flesh. What we're seeing is selfishness being disguised as love. What we're seeing is the increase of narcissism. This, my friend, was never God's original intent when it comes to relationships. God's original intent when it comes to relationship was for us to follow after his very nature that is outlined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as a matter of fact, let's quickly go ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to go ahead and just quickly read verses 1 to 4. This is what it talks about concerning love. And as we read this, you're going to notice this again is the very nature of God. For those of you who were with us last year, we talk again about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I wanted to go ahead and address it again, because again, without this type of love, right, which is godly love, how can we have meaningful relationships? How can we have healthy relationships that will outlast, right? That will outlast the hard times in this life. That will, again, be there to the end. What does it say again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 4? This is what it says concerning love. Verse 4 starts off by saying, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. One of the things that you can, again, begin to do is look at your current relationships as of today and say to yourself, are these relationships, right? Are they, again, displaying the very nature of God, which is love? Am I even, right? I'm a party within this relationship. Am I being patient within this relationship? Am I being kind within this relationship? Right? Am I not being envious within this relationship? Or am I being envious within this relationship? If you are, this is the time for you to, again, say, Lord, bless me to be more like you. Bless me to be more like Jesus. Help me to have your very nature. Bless me to be patient. Bless me to be kind, right? Bless me to always hope, always trust, always persevere. Bless me to not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. My goodness, how can we forget about truth? Besides genuine love, truth has to be in the forefront in relationships. Truth has to be the forefront in relationships. My goodness. My goodness. So here, as we've just read 1 Corinthians verses 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 1 to 4, we see here this is showing us what true love is. It is showing us what love is really all about. Love is not just a feeling, but love is about the right attitude, a godly attitude, and as well as about actions. For a relationship, a kingdom relationship, to be a kingdom relationship, actions have to be at the forefront too. It can't just be someone saying they love you. It can't just be a friend saying, oh, you know, sis and bro. But what are their actions displaying? Are their actions showing you that they're a true friend? And we're going to talk about friendships again. And we're going to talk about even giving you examples of biblical friendship and what that looks like. And how we can pursue biblical friendships, how we can pursue, again, kingdom relationships. Because, again, under the kingdom relationships, it is an umbrella, right? And under it, you have, again, families, right? You have, again, marriages, and you have, again, other various relationships that one can have in this life. My goodness. And so, again, we need to get rid of pretense, or rather fake love. We need to get rid of it. My goodness. Because you see, fake love, which is not love at all, which is actually selfishness, right? Which is actually narcissism, is poison to any relationship. So in this case, right, for such relationships to have a higher healthy lifespan, both parties, meaning both people or peoples involved, must show up as their authentic selves. My goodness. Are you showing up as your authentic selves in your relationships right now? Are the individuals that you're in relationship with, are they showing up as their authentic selves within this relationship? What does it mean for us to be our authentic selves? Because authenticity, right? Authenticity is a buzzword right now. A lot of people are talking about the importance of being you, right? Being you, being authentic. But what does that really mean? Because even though there's a lot of talk about it, we still see, again, a rise in narcissism, a rise in selfishness in society, to the point where we see scripture and prophecies from the Bible are coming to pass. The word of the Lord, right? In scripture, he says that this society before his coming would grow cold. People would just hate each other for no reason. You will see mother are against their own daughters, their own son. Fathers are against their own daughters, their own sons. And you just see people are just, again, just reckless and killing each other and not having any fear of the Lord in that regard. Because, again, they forget that they are made in the image and likeness of God, and that the very people that they're killing, they too are made in the image and likeness of God. And one day God is going to hold us into judgment the way that we treated ourselves, the way that we treated one another. And so we need to make sure that we show up our authentic selves by, again, recognizing who made us, recognizing in what image and what likeness that we were made in. And we know that we were made in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus, he is the complete image and likeness of God. And so whatever we saw Jesus modeling to us in scripture is the same things that we should be modeling. So that way we can be, again, reminded that we are made in God's image and likeness. Reminded that we're not just here merely to just get by, but we're here to be carriers of God's glory. We're here, again, to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are only your authentic self if you believe and if you understand and recognize you are made in Christ. My goodness. You are made in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. The old you has passed away, and behold, the new you has come. My goodness. But this can only be if you give your life to Jesus. This could only be, again, if you're modeling after him, if you are following his example, if you have chosen to pick up your cross to follow him. And praise God that Jesus, he's the one that made the way for our true identities to have been redeemed. So y'all, there is nowhere in scripture where God, nor the followers followers of Jesus, teach or excuse abuse and fake love. As a matter of fact, you will see all of Jesus's teachings was calling us to go up higher, to love the way that he loved, and to be more like his Father. So why is it now that we as a society not even speaking on society. Rather, I'm speaking to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm speaking to the one as well. Even if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, but you too, you are just tired. You are just tired of the surface level connections, and you desire deeper relationships. You desire authentic relationships. You desire to truly to do life in a way that is extraordinary. Not just settling for, you know, mediocre ways of living, but you truly want to see good change in society. You truly want to see people set free. You truly want people to be joyful and not depressed. It seems like there's such a high level, again, of depression and of other type of mental disorders. And to be honest with you, I believe that many of the mental disorders, right, the rise of mental disorders is not necessarily because that person was born with that disorder, but it's, again, because society as a whole have been so selfish. Society as a whole has been careless. We don't see each other the way that we would like to be seen. What do I mean by that? Like, when you see another person, you should want to love that person as if they were your own self. But now is that in society, you see everybody is fending for themselves. It appears like the movie, The Hunger Game, is like everybody is in survival mode. And no one has the time, right, to just be like the Samaritan and just help that fellow neighbor. Help that fellow neighbor. Treat that fellow neighbor to a free coffee or dinner. And just get to know the individual. Get to know the person. My goodness. But even in Jesus's examples, you would see Jesus, he literally was intentional the way that he treated other people. Even when it came to selecting his disciples, he's the one that called them. He's the one that called them to him. I'm going to stay right there for a moment on the word intentionality. And I'm going to stay there because I want you to understand kingdom relationships are intentional relationships. Again, I'm going to say this. Kingdom relationships are intentional relationships. Real relationships, y'all, are intentional. To truly experience and to cultivate real relationships, you have to be intentional about them. I know for many people, they want things to happen, right? Naturally. Meaning, you just want someone to come into your life and tell you everything that you would love to hear. But this is just not the case. It wasn't even the case for Jesus. Jesus literally handpicked, selected his disciples. He didn't wait for his disciples to approach him. He approached them. And this is something that I talked about in our devotional that you're able to go ahead and get your copy via Amazon. Again, our devotional, the title of it is Mastering Singlehood. Whole and Single, the Key to Healthy Relationships. And I really went again further in the book and just really was showing to you Jesus's example in the way he selected his disciples should also be the way that we to select those we want to do life with, should be the way that we select our communities, we select our friendships. In today's society, people, again, the way that often friendships are formed is, for example, perhaps you had a mutual interest with someone and you just casually met them at the store, the grocery store. You casually met them at the gym. And there's nothing wrong with that. But often what I notice is that sometimes these relationships don't last very long. They only lasted because, again, there was this common interest. But once that person moves on to another interest, right? They have a new interest. Then they completely moved on from you. And now you feel like as if you're a loner and you don't have a friend, right? And so this is why it's so important for us to be intentional about our relationships. Again, what do I mean by that? Who do you want to be friends with? Or who do you want to do life with, right? So again, you owe it to yourself now to build and pursue these type of relationships. What type of relationship? Kingdom relationship. Relationships that birth kingdom things, right? Kingdom fruits, relationships that birth the fruits of the Holy Spirit, relationships, again, that birth true and genuine love that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We address from verse 1 to 4 recently, right? The attributes of love, which shows us the very nature of God. You don't want to have toxicity in your relationships. You don't want to have fakeness in your relationships. You don't want to have hypocrisy in your relationship. You want authenticity, right? In your relationships. You want to see your relationships producing good fruits. You want your relationships to be doing amazing things for the glory of God. You want your relationships to be deep connections. You don't want surface level relationship. You don't want shallowness within your relationship. And it's the same thing with God. God does not want to have a shallow relationship with us. God does not want us to be fake with him. And the way that we're fake with God is that we only approach God when we need him to do us a favor. We only approach God when we need him to give us a miracle. We only approach God when we need him to give us a blessing. We don't approach God just for who he is. We don't approach God just to bless his name, just to praise him. My goodness, we don't approach God just to tell him thank you for all he's already done for us. My gosh. Wow. And many of us, this is how we are in our current relationships. It's like we're not there for the other person. We're only there for ourselves. We're saying, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? As a matter of fact, there's even posts going on and saying that, again, if it doesn't serve you, then leave. And to a certain degree, I understand where some of these people are coming from. But there's another aspect when it comes to such posts is, again, it's promoting a selfish society. It's promoting a selfish society. When the very thing that should be promoted, again, is mutuality, reciprocity, and this is not being vocalized enough. The main purpose of a relationship should not just be what this person could do for you. The main purpose of this relationship should be what you can do for them and how you together can glorify God. My goodness. How you together could show the world the kingdom of God on earth. My goodness. So again, I'm asking you this question today. Are you satisfied with your current friendships? Are you satisfied with the way that your current family dynamic is going? And this is a topic that is a little bit more sensitive when it comes to family dynamic, because unlike friendships, you're born into these families, right? You didn't get a choice to select who should your mother be. Or who should your mother be or have been, right? You didn't select who your father should have been. You didn't select your siblings. But however, there's still hope, right? There's still hope for even in the family dynamics for there to be kingdom relationships. And I understand there are certain situations where, again, there's toxicity. And God understands that as well. And during those cases, all you can do is pray. And all you can do, again, is seek counsel and wisdom from the scriptures, and as well as from trusted counselors, from trusted mentors to deal with that situation. But I'm talking about those of you who know that it is not necessarily that your family is toxic or abusive, but it's just that you guys just don't see eye to eye on certain things. So how are you able to address people even within your own family? Because even the family is supposed to glorify God. Many families today do not talk with one another. Many families today do not dialogue, do not pronounce blessings upon each other. And guys, this should not be the case. This should not be the case. Family itself as well was established by God, just as marriage was established by God. And this breaks my heart. Because I see for a long time, you know, there's so many messages being created to talk about how you should, you know, be successful, right? How you should, you know, be your best self, and all that is good. But I do not hear much messages being preached and talked about on how to have kingdom families, how to have families that truly love each other the way Christ wants us to love each other. The church itself is a family, and we should see even the church as well as a family. So what does the Bible say again concerning families? You know, if you read scripture, you'll notice all of the Bible narratives were heavily based on families, were heavily community based. And this is what family is all about, being a community. Being a community that is close, being a community that is caring towards one another, being a community that wants the best for each other. Again, so there's no room for selfishness, even within the family dynamic. Many of the reasons that, you know, many reasons why perhaps there is friction within a family group is because selfishness has taken root. We have forgotten, again, how to sometimes place other people's need above our own. And I'm not saying to do this in a way where you completely neglect your needs, but I'm saying to live within your family, again, the way that we see Jesus modeled in scripture. The way we see Jesus modeled in scripture. And one of the things that I would address on tonight, to show you how to have families that are, you know, have kingdom relationships, is what Jesus himself said. You know, when he was outside the temple and they were saying, you know, isn't this the son of Joseph, right? And Mary, isn't this the brother of so-and-so, right? And Jesus was saying, you know, my mother and my father are those who do the will of God. My goodness, my mother and my father, those who belong to my family are those who do the will of my father. Ding, 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 ding. This is key for us as well when it comes to how we operate within our families. Are we doing the will of our Heavenly Father? Are we doing what it is that God tells us to do in His Word? The biggest mistake I'd say as a society that we've done was, again, separate church from state. The biggest mistake that the school systems have done was remove the Bible from the classroom. My goodness. Because the Bible is the manual that literally teaches us how to live as true citizens, how to be kingdom citizens, but also how to live within a society. And so when you've removed the word of God from almost civilization, it's as, you know, we still have the word of God, don't get me wrong, but it's like the word of God is only within the church, is only within the church groups, right? Within believers' houses and so forth. But again, when you see a society at large has removed it from the classroom, has removed it from the corporate place and stuff like that, it only makes room for the devil to go rampant, and it only makes space for toxicity, abuse of all kinds to increase. My goodness. And the Lord himself, he said that in scripture. God himself said that. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, when God was giving them again his orders, right? When God was giving them again the specific right testament, the specific commandments. I'm not even talking about just the Ten Commandments, but he was literally just, again, giving them certain orders, the way that they ought to do their lives within their communities. He says to them, if they were to follow these things, that it would be good for them, that they would be blessed. But he also gave them this warning. He says, if they do not follow these things, right, if they do not follow his word, if they do not follow his commands, my goodness, then there's going to be bad things that's going to happen. What are these bad things? There would be, again, right, famine. There would be like plagues. They would just be sick, right? And this is not to make God seem to be like he's doing any wrong per se. But again, he is God Almighty. It is in his very nature to bless his people. And this is the reason why he gave them these instructions. This is why he gives us the same instructions today. The Ten Commandments are still for today. But praise Jesus that we have grace. So even when we fall short of the glory of God, we could come and approach God in his throne room of grace. And we ask him and we say, Father, forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. Bless us to be more like Jesus Christ. You know, crucify our flesh. May we please you. Bless us to have the mind of Christ. Bless us to know your will, Father, so that we can please you at all times. God, he is faithful again to allow his Holy Spirit to empower us to do so. But what's not okay is when we completely neglect the word of God, we completely neglect the teaching of God, and we have completely put God in a box to where, you know, we only talk about God when we go to church, but we don't talk about God within our relationship dynamics. We don't talk about God when we, again, are on social media. It's as if, you know, it's like God is so private to us that we can't talk about him within our matters, right? Within different scopes of our lives. My goodness. Have we forgotten that Jesus said if we are ashamed to talk about him in front of man, he will be ashamed to talk about us in front of his Father? My goodness. And so we have to get into this place to recognize that without God, none of the things that we have in our lives will last. Without God, there's no relationship. Let's be real. And without God in the mix, right? Without God at the center of it, and without his principles, we can't have real relationships. Every relationship that we will have, one way or another, is going to be surface level. One way or another is going to be, unfortunately, I have to say this, fake. And it's not God's original intent for us to be pursuing fake relationships. God wants us to show up 100% in our relationships. He wants us to show up 100% in our communities. I'm not saying that it will be perfect, but I'm saying that it is worth to model after Jesus in order to do relationships the right way, in order for us to have relationships that are life-giving and not draining. My goodness. Now, I want to bring to your attention that, again, there's relationships and then there are interactions with people on a day-to-day basis, depending, again, on the event at hand. And so back to the intentionality, right? You have to have courage enough to say, you know what? I'm not going to tolerate surface level relationships. I'm not going to tolerate one-sided relationships. I'm not going to tolerate relationships where I feel that I'm giving and giving and they are taking and taking. So one of my encouragement to you today is, again, write a list. Analyze the current relationships in your life. See the relationships that have been life-giving to you and see the relationships that have not been so life-giving. And come to an agreement with yourself and saying which relationship that you seek can go the distance and which relationship that you seek cannot go the distance. Now, I want for us to do everything in a godly fashion, in a Christ-like fashion. So there's certain matters only God is able to give you the wisdom on how to initiate the exits, right, from certain relationships. And so I can't necessarily give you a one-size-fit-all scenario, but I would encourage you, again, to be honest with yourself as you're making that list and making sure you're being honest with the Lord as well. And if you perhaps, as far as it depends on you, right, if you want to remain in this relationship, then be honest with the other individual and tell them, you know, I would like to remain friends with you, but I felt for a while, you know, I haven't been receiving what it is that I've been giving into this relationship and hearing what the other person has to say. If the other person has something reasonable to say and shows you that they're willing as well to remain within the relationship, then keep God at the center of the relationship and go from there. But if they're showing you as if like they don't even want to be in a relationship with you, they don't want to be in this friendship with you, then make peace with it and just say farewell. And now you're free now to make room to receive the authentic God-ordained relationships, friendship that the Lord has for you. And one of the reasons, again, I feel so strongly that it's so important for all of us before entering 2024, we take the time to really do this list, is because 2024 is not a year to be playing around. My goodness, it's really not, y'all. And I believe that we all need to make sure that we are in our rightful tribes. And I believe that is something that is on the heart of God as well. God is wanting you to be connected to the right people. He's wanting you to be connected to the right communities. And he's wanting to as well to restore families yet again. Because one of the reasons why you see society is so toxic nowadays is because families have been neglected. There's not much dialogue happening in the families. There's not much blessings happening in the families. And God wants to change that. And I believe this is why, by his grace, you know, he's been inspiring me for the past 5 years to really just really focus in on the importance of being, you know, our whole selves, and as well as understanding what true love is in order for us now to establish these God-ordained relationships. For a long time, we've always thought that, you know, everything was going to rain out of heaven and fall into our lives, but God is letting us know, God is awakening us and showing us, no, we have a part to play in all of this. You have to cooperate with God. You have to cooperate with God. You have to be the Christ-like one in your circle, right? You have to be the Christ-like one in society. You have to be the one, again, it's all about intentionality. You see this individual, is on fire for Jesus and you're on fire for Jesus. You say, hey, sister, or hey, brother, I see that you're on fire for the Lord. I would really love for us to have a fellowship. I would really love for us to have a partnership so that we can do major things for the kingdom of God. And seeing that person's, you know, point of view, see what they want to say in regards to your offer. My goodness. This is the same thing with Jonathan and David. Their friendship was intentional. It didn't just happen. Jonathan saw in David something that he saw was special. Jonathan saw in David that he wasn't just any ordinary person, but he was one that walked with God. He was one that had the favor of God on his life. He was one that was anointed by God. And Jonathan saw that he was a person that he wanted to do life with. And so he intentionally made a friendship covenant with David. Many of us going into 2024, you're going to have to make friendship covenants. You're going to have to be the bigger person, and you're going to have to be courageous enough to be able to properly discern this person is a man on fire for God. This sister is a sister on fire for God, and seeing that this is a person that you need to be connected with and approach them first and not be ashamed of it. Relationships, kingdom relationships, is about being intentional. Kingdom relationships is about, again, partnering with people for the advancement of God's kingdom. As you see, the world is growing darker and colder. This should sound the alarm to you that Jesus is coming soon, and that you should now place your perspective to be heavenly, right? To be heaven's perspective, to be God's perspective, because you know now the time is very short. And what matters now more than ever is about, again, the kingdom of God being made manifest on the earth. It's about people's lives being radically changed, transformed for the better, for the glory of God, and what you can do to be a part of that. It's not about living for yourself anymore. It's not about me living for myself. And by God's grace, I never had the desire just merely to live for myself. I have the desire to talk to everybody about Jesus and to give everybody hope, because the message of Jesus is the message of hope, because he is our true and living hope. He is the reason that we're able, again, to see another day. The reason why the mercies of God are new every morning is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is because his finished work on the cross for all of us. My gosh. My goodness, I pray that you guys are just really being blessed thus far. And y'all, this is just an overview, because my desire is to be able to have this conference in person in 2024 with the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be able to see you guys in person. So for this time being, I'm just, again, giving you an overview, right? And so I'm praying that you guys are enjoying this overview so far. And y'all, yes. And so I want you to bear in mind that kingdom relationships, they all have the same principles, right? They all follow the same principles. Love, of course, genuine love is a principle. Faithfulness, faith is a principle. Amen. Reciprocity, generosity, they too are principles. And when you have such principles in the mix, oh my goodness, it is guaranteed that you will have real relationships. These relationships are not counterfeits. These relationships are not relationships founded by hypocrisy, founded by selfishness, but these relationships are relationships that are founded upon the principles of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. These relationships are relationships that are founded for the betterment of not just one person, but for both parties involved. So again, my focus, y'all, throughout this night is to exhort you to have the mindset to build and pursue kingdom relationships as a single. And for those who are already married, again, I want you to really be striving, right, to see what can you do within your marriage that brings glory and honor to God. What can you do in your marriage that helps your partner to be the best version themselves and vice versa? What can they be doing for you to reach your ultimate purpose, right, and potential in life? My goodness. Now, for many decades, I say at large, the church has not talked about how congregants should position themselves to have healthy relationships. And this is one of the reasons why I thank God for just giving me the grace to be able to share this message to you on tonight. Because for many churches at large, I haven't been hearing this message being spoken. And one of the desires of mine is that when you guys attend these conferences, I really want you guys to be exhorted to do the same as well. Wherever you go, I want you to take these messages and I want you to share them wherever you go. So that way you can be an agent of change as well to promote kingdom marriages, to promote healthy relationships, right? And to even as well encourage singles to see their singlehood as a blessing from God to prepare them for such relationships in the near future. Amen. And the thing is too, y'all, I feel that it's necessary for us to address this tonight that, you know, we have seen so many resources that have been made to create, that have been made or created rather, excuse me, to save unions once discord entered them, more than resources to help birth healthy relationships in the first place. And this is a burden of mine because I do not like seeing dysfunction of any kind, toxicity of any kind, and I do not like divorce either. But I do recognize when divorce is necessary. But one of the main reasons why I see that divorce is at play and divorce is on the rise is, again, because not many resources were made to be able to help cultivate kingdom relationships in the first place. So people are even being pressured to be married because, again, marriage is so well received in every culture, to be honest with you. It's like in every culture is very much so a blessing, is very much so an honor to be married. And a lot of, again, parents would love to see their children married and so forth, but not enough parents are actually teaching their child how to choose wisely, how to choose a mate wisely. And for those of you who are parents and who are doing this, praise the Lord. I'm so proud of you for doing that because, again, you don't hear this being echoed enough. It needs to be echoed even more so in 2024. Not to just desire for your children to be married, but desire for your children to choose their mate correctly. Desire for your children to have marriages that glorify God, not just so for you to say to other people that, you know, oh my goodness, my daughter is married, my son is married. But no, my daughter is married to a true man of God. My son is married to a true woman of God. And their marriage is to bring God glory and honor in the earth. Their marriage is to continue to advance the kingdom of God so that the kingdom of darkness could continue to be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. My goodness. And so I'm praying and believing alongside you that as you, again, are hearing this message, God would begin to, again, just highlight to you certain relationships that you know will go with you into 2024 and certain relationships that you really need to be praying about and help in asking God to help you to release them, right? And I know the releasing is not always an easy thing to do, but it's always a necessary thing to do in order for us to be able to properly receive the new relationships or the new blessings that God has for us. Now, I know for those of you who perhaps have been, you know, going through difficulties in your current relationships or perhaps even in your past, relationships have never been easy for you and you're just tired of it. Well, this is for you. This conversation is for you. This message is for you. I believe that God, you know, wanted you to hear this because it is God's desire for you to have thriving relationships. It is God's desire for you to be in a loving community. And I want you to know that the more that, again, you're seeking God's will for your life, the more you're going to desire such things. And the more God is faithful, again, to give you the grace, right? To give you the courage to you know, go into these communities. Again, like I said, it's about being intentional. You don't have to wait for someone to say hi to you, to approach you and say, oh, welcome and join our group. No, like you make yourself available, right? With his leading, of course, and you be the one to establish a community, right? Of a like mind. Because God is able to use you to be a catalyst to do that, to use you to be the person to bring the change, right? In your community or in your neighborhood. You know, maybe perhaps there's other people just like you who are in the same boat, but you can be that sister, you can be that brother that bands with these people, and you guys, you know, just put God at the center of it all, and you'll see God do amazing things through your new community. Now, y'all, we understand that, you know, the devil is our enemy and he does not want anyone to live the life God destined them to live, nor have kingdom relationships God desired for them to have. However, I can say many of the disappointments that many have experienced when it comes to relationships has been, again, poor assessment that was done concerning the relationship. My goodness. And so we have to, again, be wise and approach God concerning our relationships. And this is why it's key to know, again, what is God's purpose for your life? What assignments that God has for your life? Because the type of assignments you have and the type of purpose you have will help you to rightfully align with the people that God will see fit to help you to accomplish such assignments, such tasks that he has destined for your life. Now, one thing that I want to go ahead and address on tonight, I know we talked a little bit about, again, family dynamics, but I want to go ahead and highlight a key scripture that I see that has been neglected even in the church, but is very important. It has to do, again, parent-child relationship. Again, this is under the families, right, of course. And so in the church, we've heard of the scripture where it says, again, to honor your mother and father, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And I know a lot of parents, they love to say this. They love to say this, especially to their children when their children is acting up. They're like, oh, you remember what the Bible said? But literally within that same following scriptures, it says, as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and quickly read it, y'all. Please go ahead and open your Bible pages to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. My goodness, y'all. Actually, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 4. And so this is what it says. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And then verse 4, it says fathers, but in certain translations, again, it says parents. So for this context, I'm going to say parents. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to say this one more time. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. My goodness, this is so important. And for some for whatever reason, I don't know why, a lot of people, they would always highlight verse 2 to 3, but completely act as if verse 4 doesn't come right after it. And so this shows us how, again, how fair, how just God is. Like, God doesn't just care about parents being honored, but God cares about the very children to be honored as well by their parents. Literally, verse 4, this is what it says. Although it doesn't have the word honor, but the fact that it tells parents to not provoke their children to anger is literally God saying, you too have to honor your child. If you're not honoring your child, how can your child do what it is that you tell them to do? If you're literally bullying your own children, how will your children give you honor, right? If you're bullying them, if you're talking lowly concerning them, you're not, again, what does it say in verse 4? It also says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that means if you're not, again, prophesying unto them the word of God, if you're not teaching them the word of God, if you're not, showing them the way that they ought to live according to God's will, if you're not, again, speaking blessings upon their lives, how will they be better children? How will they, again, reach their fullest potential? My gosh. And so even within the family dynamics, in this case, parent-child relationship, I want to encourage you, if you're a parent or a parent-to-be, I want to encourage you to see your children the way that God sees them and to begin to speak over their lives the word of God. My gosh, one of the main assignments that you're given, right, as a parent is the way that you're training up your child. Literally, when you go to heaven, I believe God will even talk to parents concerning this. There is an age, of course, of maturity where you're not responsible anymore in a way for your children's behavior. But as long as they're under your roof, right? As long as they're, again, within that age bracket where you are able to speak into their lives. You can always speak into your kid's life. That's not what I'm saying here. But I mean, like, as long as they're, again, under your parental care, you're supposed to be training them up in the word of the Lord, in the wisdom of God. And this is what that scripture is saying. Again, I want you to make sure that as well, for those of you who desire to be parents one day, to understand that your child is not just in the picture just to benefit you, but God gave you these children in order for you to raise them up to be Christ-like, in order for you to raise them up to be mighty women and men of God, and in order to raise them up to be those who will, again, be the voice of the Lord, right? Be instruments, right, that God will use in the nations to again be his carriers of glory, and to be able to be the ones who will be bold enough to say, on earth as it is in heaven, God established your kingdom. Amen. And so for a very long time, I would say even a lot of predominant Caribbean churches, I would hear again that being echoed, honor your father and mother. And don't get me wrong, this is important for sure, but I would not hear enough of parents actually saying the importance of understanding their children, loving on their children, being friends with their children. There's nothing wrong with being friends with your children. This is something else as well, I feel, that has been a misconception. I think it's even very important to be friends with your children. What's not good is when, again, you're not disciplining your children. That's what's not good. But to be friends with your children is very important because it helps your child to be able to dialogue, and it will also help your child to be able to socialize better, right? In the real world and so forth. And it will even help your child to birth healthy relationships in their adulthood and so on. Amen. My goodness. Now, in wrapping up, there are a few kingdom relationships that I want to go ahead and highlight on tonight. And before we get into them, I want us to, again, open our Bible pages to Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. And then I want you to quickly go ahead and bookmark Proverbs 18, verse 24, Proverbs 27, verse 17, and Amos 3, verse 3. And many of these scriptures, we've already addressed them I didn't share the scriptures, but the concepts, we've already addressed them, the importance of them. But I want for you to be able to have these highlighted in order to meditate on as you yourself are doing this assessment on, again, what type of relationships that you currently have right now and what must change in order for you to see kingdom relationships being predominant in your life. And so Galatians 5 verse 22 verse 23, it lists for us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who have my book, and if you don't have my book, again, you can order it on Amazon, because I go in depth concerning the importance of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in order to birth healthy relationships. Now, I will literally go as far as to say a relationship is not healthy unless it has the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what it says in regards to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? So Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. My gosh, that's so good, y'all. All of us should be striving to birth such fruits within our relationships, whether that be, again, a friendship, whether that be within a romantic relationship, whether that be within our families, whether that be, again, within a, you know, a community, whether that be within a marriage. This is what kingdom relationship is all about, cultivating the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When you are cultivating the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you're more Christ-like than ever. When you cultivate the fruits of the Holy Spirit, this is what allows the world to see Jesus in us. My goodness. Now, I want us to go now to read Proverbs 18 verse 24. And this is talking about friends, right? And it's talking about what friendship that is good, what friendship that is not so good. Okay, so what does it say? Proverbs 18 verse 24, it says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to read this again. It's so good. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So literally the Bible highlights to us, there are people that are unreliable, yeah, but it's almost as if this is contradicting itself, but it's not. It's literally just to show you that there's no such thing as unreliable friends, because a true friend is one that's like a brother. A true friend is one that will be reliable, you see. And so you have to, again, be honest with yourself as you're making this assessment. The people that are currently in your life right now, are they reliable? Are they like a brother or sister to you? And when I mean brother or sister, I'm saying what the scriptures define as a brother and sister in the faith, right? Those who, again, are of a like mind, those who have the mind of Christ, those as well who desire to please God, those who have the fear of the Lord. And the word of the Lord, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if they fear God and they desire to live according to his ways, that means they are people who are wise. They're not going to lead you to destruction. They're going to lead you to what will give you life. They will lead you to what will give you peace and joy. It's not to say that they will be your peace and joy, but they will lead you to where you can get your peace and joy. They will always lead you back to the feet of Jesus. They will always lead you back to the word of God. And they too will speak life into you, not death. Amen. Now let's go ahead and read Proverbs 27 verse 17. This is what it says. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Are the people in your life, are they sharpening you? And are you too? Are you sharpening them? This is not just about the other person now. This is about you. Because it takes two to be in a relationship, right? And this leads us now to Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you find yourself always disagreeing within this relationship, there's a problem right there. And this is the time where you have to, again, be courageous enough to address it and to see whether it's a relationship worth saving or if it is time indefinitely to release yourself from this relationship and to release yourself from this relationship in peace. And make sure that you're doing it in a way that you're being led by God, because unfortunately, so many of us, we've found ourselves to be in relationships where we are the ones who were in the relationship, but not the other person. So the whole time you had the understanding that this was a friendship or this was a relationship, but for the other person, this was never what it was. My gosh. And so in that case, you have to be all right and say, you know what? I'm going to just release myself from this situation, and I'm going to make sure moving forward that I'm entering my relationship with intentionality. To be honest, y'all, let us make 2023 the last year where, again, we play it safe, meaning, you know, we're not approaching, you know, relationships with sincerity. We're not approaching them with authenticity. We're not approaching them with our expectations. There's nothing wrong to approach them with your expectations. Approaching them with your expectation will save you, will save your time, and will save you from heartbreak, right? And it will help you to assess whether that person is right for you or not. Again, I understand when it comes to family dynamics, this is a bit more difficult. But however, even within the family dynamics, you matter and your needs matter. And it's important for you to dialogue and express that to them. Now, if you express that to them and they seem to not care, then go before the Lord and, you know, really just go before the Lord concerning that and be patient as well. And if you are of age, it is time. It is time to just, you know, at times just love that individual, or love that family member or group from a distance. Because even in scripture, it says, as far as it depends on you, right? Live in peace, right? As far as it depends on you, live in peace, right? And so it depends on you, literally. It depends on you. If you would want these individuals to remain in your life, so be it. That's awesome. That's amazing. But if you find yourself more drained when you're in close proximity with such individuals, even when it's blood relatives, then this is your sign that, again, you have to do what's going to be best for your well-being. This is not to say that you're selfish. This is not to say that you're being like the world. This is saying that, again, you value your peace and you also understand the importance of honoring yourself in order for you to be best suited to love and care for other people. If you're drained all the time, how are you going to be able to care and love other people well, right? My goodness. And so, just like I was addressing how generosity, love, faith, and honor, their kingdom principles, their currencies in the kingdom, and there's what's needed, right? They're what's needed to have kingdom relationship, is the same way as well as agreement. And so, again, it's so important to really just be meditating on Amos 3:3 and as well as all these scriptures that I just addressed, Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23, Proverbs 18 verse 24, Proverbs 27 verse 17, and Amos 3 verse 3. Now, some examples of kingdom friendships in the Bible, some examples, right, of kingdom relationships in the Bible. One, of course, I truly recommend you to read is the, again, friendship between David and Jonathan. I spoke on them a little bit, right? But I want you to go ahead and literally read 1 Samuel chapter 20. In verse 42, to be specific, let's go ahead and read it. This is what it says. It says, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.' And when he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." My goodness. You see the intentionality here? Jonathan and David, they were not playing, y'all. They went into the relationship, right? The friendship with intent, with their intentions. They didn't just was like, "Oh, I'm just going to make this go with the flow." Forget about go with the flow. We don't have time, y'all, for go with the flow. We are serious people. We are kingdom driven people. We are people that want our generation, right, to be the generation of change. We don't want toxicity of any kind. We don't want abuse of any kind. Enough is enough, guys. You have to be intentional moving forward concerning your life, moving forward concerning your relationship. You have to show up as your real self. To show up authentically is as well a prerequisite of having real relationships. Don't wait for the other person to address and say, how can I be best suited for you? You go ahead and say to this person, "Here I am, right? These are my attributes. These are my strengths. This is where I see myself, right? Going into the future. This is where God is wanting me to be. God is wanting me to do this for his kingdom. I'm not saying, again, to share every personal details of yours to people. But however, I'm saying get the important matters off the bat, right? Don't just stay there and waiting it out and saying, maybe if they, maybe if they address this, then again, I'll address you. No. Jonathan literally made a covenant with David. And again, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 20, you will realize the reason why he made that covenant. And it's, again, because of the type of person he saw David to be. Do not miss wonderful relationships because you are afraid to speak up. You are afraid to say to the individual, wow, I see what you're doing for the Lord, and I want to be able to be of assistance to you. And I want you to be an assistance to me, right? Is that all right with you? Amen? My goodness. I'm really on fire right now because my desire is for you guys, again, to have kingdom relationships, healthy relationships. You know, I really do not like how I see the scene is going on in the world and even in the church right now. And so I am praying for all of us to be about our Father's business in 2024. And the main way that we can, in fact, be about our Father's business in 2024 is to be connected to our tribe, be connected to God ordained, right, communities. And again, doing our part, making sure that, again, we remind ourselves that faith without works is dead. We're not going to, these people are not going to come into our lives if we are just sheltering ourselves, right? We're not leaving the house. We're not making sure that we are surrounded by those who are on fire for God. We have to make sure that we are in close proximity to where we see that there's life, right? To where we see that people are really doing the will of God. Another wonderful example of kingdom relationships, kingdom friendships, is the one between Ruth and Naomi. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and go to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Very similar to what Jonathan did with David is what Ruth did with Naomi. She made a covenant. She made a covenant with Naomi. And this is important going into 2024. You need to make sure that, again, you're making that straight off the bat when you're approaching certain people. You're making sure that before you approach them, you're observing the type of person that they are. You're discerning them in the spirit by the grace of God. You're discerning them based on the fruits, right? Based on the fruits they produce. Let's read it together. Ruth 1, verse 16 to 17. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Wow. That is powerful. That shows you this is not somebody that's playing with your emotions. This is not somebody with hypocrisy. This is not nobody, this is not somebody with fake love, right? This is somebody that is genuine. This is somebody that knows what she wants, right? She wants a friendship that is real. She sees that Naomi, again, she's a wonderful woman, a woman of wisdom. She saw the way that Naomi treated her when her husband was alive. Ruth would have never said such a thing to Naomi, if Naomi herself was not a good person, was not one who feared the Lord. So, my goodness, you have to, again, see whether someone will say that concerning you or someone, or you would say that concerning someone else. Are these people in your life right now? Do you see there are people that you would even be willing to die with, right? To die for the same cause with? Oh my gosh, this is so important. Are these people, are people that are with you when you have fallen sick or when you are in a critical season of life where you need somebody to be able to speak life into you? Or are they just people who are there with you when everything is all good? This is what kingdom relationship is all about. Relationships that are able to stand the test of time. Relationships that are able to, again, be able to remain within each season. And I know that there's some people that says that there's so many different friends. No, I don't think that is true. I don't think that is true. To be a friend, again, like we read in Proverbs 18 and 24, and even Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens one another. A true friend is one who sharpens you. There's no such thing as you just being friend with someone just because they have money or just... No. That is just an acquaintance, right? Or an associate, right? That is just a neighbor, but that is not necessarily a friend. There's a difference between a neighbor and a friend. A neighbor could just be anybody that, again, you're still Christ-like with them. You're still loving them. But again, you don't know them like that, right? You're not doing life with them like that. But a friend is someone you literally do life with, you commune with, you fellowship with, you dialogue with. Someone that you care for them to be progressing in life in every season, right? Amen? Now, let's look at some examples of kingdom marriages. One example of kingdom marriages or of romantic relationships that are godly is one that I share very frequently right here on the podcast, Mastering Singlehood and Relationship Podcast. And that is the relationship between Ruth and Boaz. You can read from Ruth 1 and 4. And again, like I'm showing you, all of these relationships, they all have the same principles. They all have the same principles, right? So kingdom relationships, whether it's romantic or not, they all have these same kingdom principles. And that's what makes them kingdom relationships. They all honor God, fear God, glorify God. They all are doing something to advance God's kingdom. And even though Ruth and Boaz happened before Christ, right? But they were already foreshadowing what, again, the kingdom of God is like and what God, right, through his son Jesus Christ would do for us, would redeem us. Amen. And so I want you to go ahead and take the time to read Ruth 1-4. Another example is Rebecca and Isaac, which you can read in Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis chapter 24. And very quickly, I want to just give this point here, especially for those of you guys who are single. Moving into 2024, I want you to understand this. Something that I talked about in the book as well. I'm going to go ahead and share this freebie with you. Out of everything that God did in the word of the Lord, relationships, meaning I'm saying this romantic relationship and marriage, is not something that was ever God's intent for people to wait a long time for. Often when you read the word of the Lord, the promises that were like people had to wait a longer period of time to, again, manifest were like, for example, if a woman was barren for a very long time, right, and could not have children, she would then give birth to children, right? We see this in the case of Sarah. We see it in the case as well of Rachel in the Bible. But often when you read concerning romantic relationships, these individuals didn't necessarily have to wait a very long time, except for Jacob. But even Jacob, he didn't necessarily need it to wait a long time. His father-in-law purposely caused him to wait a long time. This is not something that, again, I'm not hearing echoed, and especially the Christian community. And so you have a lot of people who say, again, I'm waiting on God for my godly ordained spouse. And there's nothing wrong for you to wait on God. But there's more than a plethora of examples in scripture where God literally needed our cooperation in order for us to be together with our spouse. As a matter of fact, there were even instances where it is the spouse's parent that really connected the individual to their spouse. And when you read Genesis chapter 24, this is what happened in the case of Rebecca and Isaac. It was Abraham who initiated, right, the relationship of Rebecca and Isaac. It wasn't necessarily Isaac who came to Rebecca in the begin with. And so this is so important as well, you know, for us to get our minds to grab hold of moving into this new year. You have to be honest with yourself and say, hey, am I just, you know, imagining for God to just bring the person into my life? Or am I actually interacting within communities of a like mind, right? Where there's, again, young women who are on fire for Jesus, young men who are on fire for Jesus. And if you're not young, but you're young in your soul and spirit, am I around people of my age, right, who are going in a similar path as me, right? So this is so important for you to really be intentional and say, my goodness, let me go back, right? Let me hear what JLP said here. And let me go back and study the scriptures for myself. Let me go back and watch her series on prize mentality on YouTube, which you can watch on our YouTube channel, Amuna Culture. I went ahead and just shared different instances in the Bible where, again, many times, ladies, we're not doing our part as positioners. My goodness. And many times, man, you know, you're not being like Paul and saying, I've left my childish ways, you know, behind. For now, I'm a man, right? So I have to, again, think like a man, act like a man. And this has to do with maturity. When he was saying this, he's talking about maturity. He became mature in his ways. He became mature in his faith. And this leads me to say this: kingdom relationships are about being mature. Kingdom relationships are about being mature in faith, being mature in love. And this is why I'm always saying this. I don't think young people, for example, like if you're like around the age of 13, 14, 15, even 16, I don't think it's wise to begin dating, because again, you're going to be fluctuating with your thoughts and with your emotions and with your feelings too often, because you're going through puberty. And many times what people deem to be love during those ages are not really love. They're infatuation. And it's really because you see everybody else is entering relationships. And so you're like, let me enter a relationship so I could seem cool too. No, 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 no. And so we have to be wise again to know what it is that scripture really says and what it is that we've been just hearing in the church, that we've just been hearing in society. And literally, guys, I want to set some of you guys free. It is time for you guys to be in position in 2024, because God, he literally as well want us to be united to those that we're supposed to be united with. Amen. My goodness. And so one of the things that I truly believe that is going to happen and needs to happen in 2024 is more deep conversations and dialogue. My goodness, there's no kingdom relationship without deep conversation and dialogue. Relationships literally are about dialoguing with other people, communicating with other people. Dialogue is highly seen, y'all, in the Bible narratives within families. Families, of course, weren't perfect, but family was greatly important. You know, God's original plan for families was, again, to bring heaven on earth, you know, was to model after the relationship they have with each other in the Godhead, Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. You know, families are supposed to be tabernacles for the dwelling of souls to be one with each other. So even within a family, it's not just necessarily within a marriage, right, between one man and one woman that God wants us to be one with. But when you're within your family, it should seem as if what hurts you hurts them. What makes you happy should make them happy. Not to say, again, you guys like are like twins and you guys will love everything, right? That the other love, but it's just saying that there's just this close connection that you have with them. And that close connection could only be birthed again when we see each other the way God sees us, and when we're living from the perspective of heaven and from a biblical perspective. And so again, whether be it a family, a relationship, or a marriage, you know, it is going to be real if, again, it is hosting the presence of God. It is living in accordance to the ways of the Lord. It is functioning, rather, in accordance to the ways of the Lord. And if it's functioning in accordance to the ways of the Lord, then there will be true peace within that relationship. There will be true love within that relationship. There will be, again, generosity, right? There will be honor. There will be mutuality. There will be reciprocity within that relationship. But if it's not, more likely than none, is going to be a failed relationship. It's going to be a relationship that brings more sorrow than joy. And this is not my prayer. This is not my wish for any of us moving forward into 2024. My prayer is that, oh my goodness, we will finally be united with our tribes. We will finally be able to be in communities that will host the presence of God, that will host the glory of God. So that way, even people in the world will say, just like Jesus said in the scripture, that they will recognize that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. Many of us, we have not really experienced true love because, again, we're not seeing true love being demonstrated in our midst. So how many of you want to be the one one that demonstrates true love in the midst of a society that seems to be farther and farther away from godly principles. I want to be, and I'm praying that you want to be as well. And so, y'all, I just pray that you guys were highly encouraged by this keynote message. Again, kingdom relationships, friendships, families, and marriages. God's way leads to real relationships. If you were blessed by this message, I want you to go ahead and share it with everyone you know. And I want you to make sure as well you're staying plugged into Mastering Singlehood and Relationship Podcast all throughout 2024, as well as make sure that you're lifting us up in prayer, because everything that we do indeed is for the glory of God, is for the advancement of God's kingdom. Mastering Singlehood and Relationship Podcast is under as well the umbrella of Amuna Culture. Amuna Culture is our media production company, and we are here to just produce media, you know, of all kinds, rather, whether it be, again, blog posts, podcasts, films, and so forth, to be able to just display God's kingdom on the earth and to be able to cultivate disciples for Jesus Christ. And so, guys, thank you so much for being with me. It was a pleasure to be able to impart into you. I pray that you were able to be encouraged. I pray that you learned something new. And I'm praying that as well, that you close out 2023. Almost said 2024. It's not 2024 yet. You close out 2023 with God's peace. And may God's favor as well rest upon you and your family. Stay encouraged. Do not give up hope. Do not give up faith. You know, the fact that you're still here is because God is not done with you yet, and the best is yet to come. No matter how your circumstances seem to be right now, no matter even how you feel right now, know that God sees you, know that God cares, and know that if you continue to hold on to your faith in Him, He will not disappoint you. He will not leave you forsaken, right? He will help you, and He will carry you, and He will make sure that His plans, His purpose, His promises for your life come to pass. Bless you. And remember, all things are possible with Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Have a wonderful 2024.